We're checking in on the foster care system here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The child welfare system is under stress due to the pandemic, but for the roughly 437,000 children in our country in foster care, this is an especially difficult time. And now there's a bill in Congress to suspend the timeline for terminating parental rights to help address a backlog of custody cases. Social workers, what are the biggest challenges facing the foster care system? How has the pandemic intensified these issues? Did you grow up in foster care? What about the system worked? What didn't? Join in at 800-642-1234. Social worker Johanna Barkai is with the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee, which supports the child welfare profession. Johanna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Congresswoman Gwen Moore introduced legislation this month that would give parents more time to regain custody of their children in foster care. What do you see as necessary about this legislation right now?
I think the issue of having a timeline that parents are having to abide by, which is 15 months, which when you're dealing with some of the really significant issues that some of our families are, is not a lot of time. And so I think there is something important to looking at how much are families able to work towards reunification? Are they able to see their children in person or as often? Are they able to get the services that they need? How are they struggling with a lot of the other impacts that many of us are struggling with in this pandemic, but are intensified because of the other issues? And so the idea that both families, courts, and agencies would able to use more time, I think is an important thing to think about.
Is there a growing custody case backlog in the courts right now?
I think that the courts around the state and around the nation have tried to use Zoom, other kinds of technologies to try to keep some of the cases going. But I think some of those trials, especially jury trials, when some of those different kinds of court cases are contested, I think those have been a struggle to be able to keep up and to be able to have those trials occur as they would have been typically scheduled.
How has social distancing affected the visits between foster children and their biological families?
That is an issue that I am really concerned about. So when the pandemic first started, there was in some areas, visits were completely stopped in terms of in-person contact. So all of those visits switched to being by phone, via some kind of technology, with a video conferencing. And depending upon the age of the child, their needs, even the type of technology that the parent may have accessible to them, that was really, really difficult. I'm a parent and I cannot imagine not being able to see my child face to face for a month, 2 months, 3 months. So as the virus has continued on and the timeframes have continued to get longer and longer, all the agencies really and the counties have made a concerted effort to try to get those face to face visits started again. But it's not the same. When you're having to abide by all the social distancing rules, the anxiety that I think everyone involved feels, limitations on who might be able to come to those visits. It's really been a huge change, both for the parents who are trying to see their children, for the children who are in the foster care system, as well as for the foster parents who are caring for those children, who now may have additional behaviors, additional emotions and concerns and fears because they're not able to see their family in the same way that they would have prior to all of this.
Are you saying that a visit might have to be where the child is 6 feet away from their biological parent and they can't touch them during this visit, and they can visit, but they can't hold each other?
No, I mean,
No,
now that
okay.
visits are happening in person, I believe some of the restrictions that they're looking at is having everyone wear a mask,
Okay.
unless obviously they're under 2 years old, trying to have visits outside instead of having visits inside. Maybe not being able to have visits at the parents' home. Maybe that it would have to be in a setting that they could make sure had been sanitized, as well as there may be a family where extended family members came to some of those visits, and those family members might not be able to come. So while that child may be able to visit with their mother, with their father, they might not be able to visit with their grandparents or aunts and uncles. And again, that might depend upon, case by case situations, different counties, those kinds of things. Because in the state of Wisconsin, every county does things a little bit differently. But yeah, so they are able to touch each other. I think,
Okay.
especially when you're dealing with small children, you could make that rule, and I don't think anyone would follow it.
We're talking with Johanna Barkai, who is a social worker in Milwaukee. We're checking in on the foster care system amid the pandemic. You can join in. How has the coronavirus changed the foster care system? Join in with your insights. Did you grow up in foster care? What about the system worked? What didn't? How do you want lawmakers to change or improve the way the foster care system works in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. Johanna, what sort of circumstances lead to a child being placed in foster care?
There can be a lot of different reasons why a child might be placed in foster care. The number one reason that children, both in Wisconsin and nationwide, end up in foster care is due to neglect. So that would be some kind of inability or unwillingness to provide for the basic needs of a child. Then we also have instances where it could be physical abuse. There could be sexual abuse, but as I said, primarily it ends up being neglect. That's the number one reason why children enter into the foster care system, which is part of the reason why the conditions of the pandemic are so significant to what we are seeing with playing out with families on a day-to-day basis.
Can you tell us more specifically what you mean by that? How is the pandemic affecting placement?
So right now we have some good news. And the good news is that what we call referral, so those calls that come in reporting abuse and neglect are down. There's lots of speculation about why that may be occurring. But that right now is a positive thing. What may be going on behind the scenes is a different concern. But when we're thinking about the conditions that families that are either already involved in the foster care system or might be at risk of being involved in the foster care system, when you're dealing with economic hardships, when you're dealing with housing insecurity, social isolation, potentially increased rates of domestic violence, all of those things make it harder to be able to parent your children safely, to be able to manage your own behaviors, and to be able to be a safe and successful parent. Which I think those of us who are parents who are living through this time can relate that even without safety concerns, I think everyone is struggling in ways that they never imagined that they would be faced with, as in their role as a parent.
And so you're saying there are all of these compounding issues from, from food and shelter and from economic joblessness that can all affect how a child is cared for.
Yes, as well as if a parent has their children already in foster care, could impact their ability to be able to get those children home. So whether it derailed some of their other treatment progress that they may have been making, kind of dealing through past significant trauma is not easy when you don't know if you're going to have enough to eat, if you don't know where you're going to sleep tonight. And it may also make it harder for a child to just come home. If you maybe were planning to have that child return home within the next 30 days, and now that parent loses their housing. And now there isn't a home for that child to return to. And maybe situations like going to a homeless shelter may not be an option in the same way because of those concerns with social distancing, and the possible spread of COVID.
So, circling back to the legislation on parental rights, what happens if there isn't, if that's not passed, if there isn't support for passing that? How would that affect families?
So it's in some ways it's difficult to say because there are exceptions that are built into the federal law that should allow for some ability to use discretion to extend some of those timelines. So I think the concern that Representative Moore had in introducing this bill was one, will everyone use that discretion when they should? Will they know how? Will they know which situations to be able to identify as being appropriate to have those timelines be extended? In addition, there are financial ties that occur. That if the states do not follow those timelines and are not adequately documenting their efforts, they may lose federal funding as well.
Social worker Joanna Barkai is with us from the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee. We're checking in on the foster care system amid the pandemic. How do you want lawmakers to change or improve the way foster care works in Wisconsin? Teachers, what are you concerned about as a school year starts with virtual learning? Social workers, are you seeing a custody case issues in the pandemic? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Joanna Barkai here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with social worker Joanna Barkai with the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee. We're learning about the foster care system, how the pandemic has affected family reunification cases. Joanna, what about the 18,000 or roughly, you know, U.S. teenagers who age out of the foster care system each year? What happens to them here in the pandemic because they have never become really part of a permanent family?
Absolutely. This is a population that struggles extremely even during the best of times. And so during this time period, this is the population that even if they were employed, they may have lost their jobs because this is the group that may be, working some of those retail and service jobs that we know has really been devastated by unemployment. These are also youth that really need a lot of that support and may not have a lot of those healthy informal support networks to assist them. And so now they're going to be even more isolated. Some of these youth may be enrolled in college, and as dorms have closed, or there's a question of whether dorms will be able to stay open, that has really limited people's ability to have stable housing. Typically, when a child or an adult, actually, who's in college, if they close the dorm, they return to their parents' home. But these youth don't necessarily have a home to return to.
And
So right now,
just to be clear, what age do you age out in Wisconsin in foster care?
so we do have a law that has allowed us to extend foster care up until the age of 21.
Okay.
So I not every child qualifies for that or chooses that option. Otherwise, children age out somewhere between 18 and 19. So I think with the pandemic, there really has been a push to get as many youth as possible to qualify till that age 21. As well as there's been other legislation that has been introduced nationally to say anyone who is currently involved in the child welfare system, even if they're approaching that 21, should be able to stay within the system and continue to receive support. But that's again another legislation that's pending, and hasn't been enacted yet.
Has the pandemic changed the way we approach the child welfare system? I mean, has legislation like this been a long time coming and the pandemic just pushed us over?
I think that the pandemic has forced people to think about things differently. So the type of legislation that is coming out, some of it is very focused into what's currently going on, but it is having people really think about how does the world around us impact what's going on with child welfare? How do we have more flexibility, more support, to really understand how vulnerable everybody who is involved in this system really is? What I do hope to see out of this is that some of this time to think, to reimagine, may hopefully lead to some better outcomes overall. That maybe some of the things that we always said, this is just the way things are, there aren't other options. This time of pressure, but also creativity, will hopefully lead people towards creating a system that's more accessible, has a greater social safety net, so that we have an ability to withstand unexpected things as well as kind of the innovation to the future.
What do better outcomes look like in the foster care system in particular?
Well, better outcomes, I think. First of all, is we always hope that we're able to reunify more children and have them remain safe in their homes. And actually, even before then, true better outcomes in child welfare is preventing children from being removed from their homes in the first place. So we always want to be able to provide as much preventative services and support so that children never have to leave their parents' home because we know how traumatic that is for children and families. But once children do enter the system into out-of-home care, we hope that they're either able to go home or reach some other kind of permanency as quickly as possible.
We're talking with Johanna Barkai, who works for the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee. We're checking in on the foster care system and child welfare amid the pandemic, taking your questions, your insights, and your experiences, 800-642-1234. Johanna, Attorney General Josh Call and nearly two dozen other attorneys general, they recently filed a brief with the Supreme Court supporting the rights of same-sex couples to to be foster parents. How big of an issue is this in Wisconsin?
So we are lucky in Wisconsin that this has not been an issue for a number of years. So here in Wisconsin, same-sex couples are able to foster and adopt with the institution of same-sex marriage. Now parents are able to adopt. Prior to that, it might be one parent who is able to adopt, but not a second legally unrelated adult. So I think part of the reason why Attorney General Call signed into this brief was really to support how important it is to have those non-discrimination laws and to say that if a government contractor, which is what happened in this case, says we are unable or unwilling to license same-sex couples because it's against our beliefs, then they shouldn't be having that contract then. They can do all sorts of other kinds of services, they can operate privately, but if the government is paying an agency to fulfill a responsibility, then that should be done without discrimination, and be equal access to everyone.
Johanna, is it difficult to find foster families now? Do you have enough for the children who do need to be placed?
That has been a real struggle. As the opioid crisis has increased, many, many counties are struggling in having enough foster homes to be able to care for all the children who are coming into the foster care system, as well as to be able to make good matches. We don't just want homes, we want to be able to have enough selection to be able to make sure that the family is best suited for the child and that child's needs, as well as to be able to keep sibling groups together. So the pandemic just increases that struggle to be able to find new foster homes or find foster homes that might be willing to accept new placements in the middle of all of this kind of chaos and uncertainty.
You mentioned the opioid crisis. How is that affecting child welfare?
There has been an increase in regards to the number of children who are really being impacted by this opioid crisis. The positive news is that I think Wisconsin has really tried to make sure that our numbers of children in out-of-home care have not exploded, whereas that has happened in other areas. But I think we've really, really tried to keep those numbers down, put in those supports. But it has been very, very difficult for a lot of families. And, we've seen overdose deaths, which is always just extremely traumatic for everyone involved.
In the last few seconds, child welfare and the social work that you do can be so stressful and really difficult. How do you stay hopeful and optimistic?
That's a great question. I think you have to really be thinking about what you're doing and why. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the families that you're working with? How can you make a difference to others? And at the same time, remembering to take care of yourself because it's very difficult to give to others when you don't have those internal resources for yourself.
Johanna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Johanna Barkai is a social worker with the Helen Bader School of Social Work at UW-Milwaukee. Just ahead, we have a recap of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.